You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The US men's first game in 8 years at a World Cup started so well, didn't it? A beautiful goal from Tim Weir would give them the advantage going into the second half against Wales, but it fell apart late on. Gareth Bale would silence the crowd from the penalty spot as it ends USA 1, Wales 1. Here to discuss that in more detail, Casey Keller, Craig Burley and Frank LeBeuf are with us. Let's confirm, shall we, the match stats of the opening game for Greg Bearholt. Side, US were dominant completely in the first half against a lackluster Wales side who got things together after the break, put in more of a fight than we saw in the opening period. And in the end, you would argue it's the US who are hanging on, but in the end, it finishes one apiece. We welcome from Qatar, Sebastian Salazar joins us, but we'll go to Sebi a bit later on. Casey, I want to start with you. How are you feeling?
I feel okay, simply because that's what I kind of expected. I expected Wales to soak up some pressure.
But after the first half,
No. I know that. But I also expected a response from Wales in the second half because there's no way they could be that bad for two halves. That they went into halftime and went, guys, what the heck is going on here? We are much better than this. Kiefer Moore comes in, completely changes the game for them. But then I think the other issue that I think is going to be an issue as this tournament progresses for Greg Berhalter is the amount of players in that starting 11 with really a lack of true match fitness.
Right.
And I think we saw that as that game progressed, that when you need those guys to grind and you look at this lineup and you know that Way is coming off an injury, McKinney's coming off an injury, Dest is coming off an injury, Moose is coming off an injury, Pulisic's only playing a bit part role for Chelsea. And now the adrenaline of the first half,
right,
where you play so well, it's your first time in the World Cup for everyone except for DeAndre Yedlin, who came on. And you're like, we're 1-0 up. We're comfortably in this game. Now you come out halftime and Wales makes the adjustments and you don't have that reserve knowing that I can grind, that I can fight my way through things. Yes, a couple players are in that, but a lot of players just, you saw, they just did not have the match fitness that they needed to fight through it.
You feel they should have taken much more advantage of that opening 45 minutes.
I thought, bearing in mind, it was a World Cup stage. I thought the US were superb in the first half. I mean, technically, so much more superior than Wales. I mean, embarrassingly so.
Yeah.
The way they passed it and controlled it and picked up the second balls and then went wide again. Pulisic found some space. I thought the goal was a terrific goal because Sargent held it up. Pulisic made that run inside. And then young Nico Williams, who just switched off for a second and Tim Weir made a great run. Unlike Casey, I didn't actually think Wales were going to get much better because I knew they would make changes, but I thought, this team's so bad, they sit and they soak up pressure and that's how they've qualified. They don't know how to play another way. But clearly, as Casey said, the more... Look, Dan James was supposed to run in behind. He didn't. Mm. Gareth Bale couldn't move. He had his moments in the game, but he couldn't move. They needed somebody else because to play through a press, you've either... to get around a press, you either got to play through it with technical players, which they couldn't do, or you got to play in behind in the channel and somebody's going to hold the ball up. That's what Kiefer Moore did. They were able to hit the ball in the channel, they were able to squeeze up a little bit and he was able to hold the ball up and it took a bit of pressure off Bale. Because Bale, Frank, was trying to hold... They were throwing balls up to Bale. He's like the tin man because he hasn't played.
Yeah.
He can't really move, although he did have his moments in the penalty. And it was coming straight back. And so the US was so on top. But the big question mark is... And on the commentary, they kept mentioning this, was how would this team react in adversity? And unfortunately, what they saw in the second half is going to come in bucket loads against England. And they didn't handle it very well.
It's a stupid penalty to give away.
It is, but I'm not sure that he sees Bale coming to him, you know. I think he reacts that suddenly he sees him and tries to put the ball, to kick the ball out. Right. And it's too late. Yeah, after that, when you see that, it's stupid. But I will go with the guys, you know. I think in order to win a game, especially in a World Cup, you have to finish the opponents. You have to score another goal to make sure you secure, even if you concede one. And they never did. The second half, Wales came back. And football is made of details. And a penalty, and you are back to the business. And you have to suffer for the 10 minutes. It's sad for United States, because they deserve to win overall, I would say. But that's part of football. It's not because you are dominant that you're going to win.
Who are you blaming, Seb?
Well, I'm not surprised that Frank LeBeouf is backing a defender. That was a terrible challenge from Walker Zimmerman. I'm shocked that Casey Keller feels okay about that game. This is a blown opportunity. It is very, very rare that the United States would boss a game like that in the first half. And even into the second half, fine, it's 1-0. Wales is throwing the kitchen sink at you. They've made a change. But Walker Zimmerman, what are you doing there? Gareth Bale's going away from goal. There's no need to do it. And the fact that it's Zimmerman, he's one of the most experienced guys on this team. Throughout qualifying, he's been the rock in the center of that defense. The question was about who would start next to Walker Zimmerman. I think it's just a terrible mistake that really cost the United States what would have been 3 points. And when you look at what happened in the other game, England racking up six, that's who you got to play next. This is a blown opportunity. There's no way that you can feel just okay about this.
Did you boss a game where the other team drops off into their own half with 11 guys, lets you have a bunch of possession, and you get one shot on goal? I'm sorry, I can't look at a game and go, I got killed, and I had one shot, and they scored on their one shot, and that was it. Where was Hennessy flying around the goal, making saves? The one save he had to make was from his own guy who heads a ball back and hits him in the chest. That's his only save.
You look at the stats, it's not about possession, it's about what Wales did in the final third. And Zimmerman and Ream were smoking a cigar in the first half.
Yeah.
And Rob Page went, I'm not having that. Let's get the big fellow on.
Yep.
Let's throw the ball up there. He held it up brilliantly at times. And they got up and supported. And all of a sudden, the centre-halves were under pressure. Turner was having to make saves. And it's not just the Zimmerman challenge, because everybody can make a rash challenge and it just happens in a split second like that.
No, not for Sebastian.
And,
he's got full Sebastian.
Frank,
well,
you have to play.
You have to play to have
You're under that pressure, and you just got, and then you could see by his face. But it wasn't just that. It was a quick throw-in.
Yeah.
They allowed the quick throw-in from the Welsh down the side, over the top, Aaron Ramsey in behind, just switching off. And that's the worry, that going into this England game now, what's the mood? Because some great stuff, some not-so-good stuff. And if you think Wales will get at you, you think about Harry Kane coming short, if he's fit, and Sterling running in behind, and Mount running in behind, and Bellingham running in behind. Those are things that Wales never really hurt them with, certainly in the first half. So there's a lot of questions for the US. The one thing I would say, you have to take the positive from the first 45, the way they controlled the game.
Right.
The negative for me was how they were all looking round, and as Casey said, the other negative was guys were looking a little tired, some of them.
And of course, leading onto that conversation with the substitutes that we saw Greg Berhalter make, because a lot of people were asking, well, where was Gio Reyna? And it was something we got some answers to actually after the game. Jeff Carlisle, obviously there for ESPN, was tweeting about what both parties said. Let's start off, shall we, with what Greg Berhalter said. He said, basically, in the phase of the game we were at, with Jordan, we felt we could get us speed and power. He then continued saying, Berhalter, if we were trying to get him up to speed, there was some tightness we were guarding against. That was in the scrimmage that we saw earlier on this week. And then Gio Reyna comes out and says, look, I'm 100% and I'm good to go. I'm sure Berhalter's happy that he's heard that from Gio Reyna. Seb?
One second. I just don't envisage a team like the US, who have some good players, who don't see a place when you're under pressure for a fit Gio Reyna to come in. And he's quite a big lad. He's bigger than you think. He can take the ball for a run. He can take the ball and keep the ball because of his quality. I just don't see a place where he doesn't come into a game unless you think you're going to lose him for the next two.
But it wasn't for a long period of the match either, was it? You know, it was for 15, 20
minutes to come in. And
even with the added time. Yeah. You look at it overall, Sebi, did Bejar drop the ball here?
Yeah, I think he did. Let's talk about Jordan Morris specifically. For me, if this was a 23-man roster, Jordan Morris wouldn't be on it. I'm kind of surprised that he's on it, even though it's a 26-man roster. I didn't think he would play in this tournament at all. Gio Reyna absolutely has to play in this game, and that's probably not the only thing we can criticize Greg Berhalter for in that second half. You got to give Rob Page all the credit. He makes the adjustment at the half. Clearly, that's a game-changing move. Greg Berhalter waits, what, till the 65th minute to make his first sub? And even then, the changes that he made didn't really seem to impact the match. I think Wales only continued to grow into the match after those changes. So for me, you can look at all of the changes that he made, specifically the fact that he left out Gio Reyna. And it's also something that's kind of counter to what we've seen from Berhalter in the past. He struggled to get the right starting lineup. I think he nails that today. He's been a second half coach throughout qualifying. Today, clearly, Rob Page had his number in that second 45 minutes.
Did he sit on his hands too much today?
Well, I think he has enough confidence in the squad. And I think because of the fitness issues with so many players, I think there was an idea that there's going to be a level of rotation anyway. I would not be surprised if Gio starts in the next game. I wouldn't be surprised if Aronson starts in the next game. It looked like McKinney was struggling with his thigh. That was the reason why he wasn't playing for Juve for the last several weeks. Musa was clearly struggling at the end of the game with, hopefully it was just cramps, but we'll see from there as well. So it would not surprise me if it was a situation where there was six or seven changes going into the England game.
McKinney was worrying me with his challenges.
Well, got booked obviously in the first half.
Yeah, and I saw Tyler Adams got sent off against Tottenham last game out for something similar. And I thought he was terrific today.
Yeah, he was excellent.
Positions himself really well, gets in, toe pokes one away. Actually, the booking at the end when Gareth Bale was about to have a ping at the goal. The booking at the end, which wasn't Tyler Adams' booking, but if you looked at the shot, he was right on the scene to make a challenge anyway.
Yeah, Kellen Acosta that well.
Yeah, but if he doesn't take it, actually there's a shot where Adams is there, and that's kind of epitomised his performance, but a couple of them, whether it's fitness or not, were playing on the edge with their challenges.
Right.
You're just playing on the edge, and you know some of these referees are a little nervous. It's a big stage for them as well. And so that plays into it too, as well as the injuries.
Which team plays England?
England play the US.
England play the USA next, and then England play Wales next.
So there is, as Casey's thing, I think Mr. Berhalter has a thought about that, and he has to. But I think he wants to have the best team against England and try to get the best out of it, because he knows, well, he expects to win against Iran.
Right.
But if you lose against England, And you have, of course, Wales winning against Iran. You don't know what's going to be the team Wales going to play against England. It's going to be a second team,
right.
We call the bench team. So maybe they're going to draw or win. So it's very important the next game. So maybe it's why maybe Reyna didn't play. It's why maybe he wanted to rest some other players to make sure that he has a very competitive team against England.
If you want to win the game, though, and I know you've got a few injuries in the future, a few knocks, a few tired legs, a few changes. If you want to win the game, and that's the whole ethos of it, you put your best players on. You put Gio Reyna on if he's fit. You put him on.
Yeah.
10 minutes, 15 minutes. He's playing at that. He's one of the players that's playing at the highest level. I know he's had injuries. It's a bit like England struggling at the end of a game, which they didn't today, and leaving Phil Foden on the bench and putting on somebody who just scraped into the squad at the last second. You'd be sitting going, why the hell didn't they bring him on? Mm. He's a game changer. And so I think that's one of the questions that will be asked is, you know, Gio Reyna must be sitting there thinking, you know, people talk about Pulisic, but I think I'm the best player in this squad.
Yes. Yeah.
And
he's got something about Gio Reyna, I feel he's got that leader quality, hasn't he? He goes on the pitch and you just feel that he can lift and galvanise.
I remember watching one of the first games he came on for Dortmund. And you're always thinking of a young player coming into a squad and saying, what I don't want to be is I don't want to be blamed for losing a ball. So I'm going to play everything quick,
safe,
and backwards, yeah, and square. And I watch the first touch as he skates around somebody and attacks and then plays a ball through. And I'm going, ooh, That's something special because that's really, really difficult. You can't teach that. You have that body awareness, that ability with that first touch. That game was screaming for that.
Right.
Particularly as Wales started to push a few more players forward. If you could then get that first touch, put two or three Wales players behind you, scare them into thinking, well, wait a minute. We're not even sure if we fought back to get a point. Now let's pack it in and make sure we don't throw it away. And the U.S. didn't have that response.
The interesting thing will be whether the U.S. adopt the exact same way of playing against England.
They can't.
It's horses,
they can't.
Horses here. I mean, they know Wales are not a possession team. You can look at all the qualifying games. They're not going to win any awards for entertainment. They don't have the playing squad for that. They actually it was a pretty decent game in the second half today. It wasn't a match in the first half.
No.
It just wasn't.
It's one way travel.
But, you know, the question is, do you try and play that pressing game, picking up all those scraps and second balls against England? Or do you just... I mean, how coy is Greg Berhalter going to be? Is he saying, well, OK, like, we don't want to be... Sterling's going to run behind, Kane's going to drop in, Tyler Adams is going to have to... Well, he's going to have to keep an eye on Kane. So, you know, there's so many subplots now. And he could have been a lot more cautious had they seen this game out.
Right,
yeah.
But, I mean, look
at the player for player. And, you know, you just mentioned it. You know, obviously Gareth Bale at one stage was that guy. But if you look at Ramsey and Bale and obviously James didn't do what we thought he could do. Now you throw in Saka and Sterling and Kane and Bellingham, and there's a little different level of dynamic running with and without the ball that defense is going to have to deal with for the U.S. that they did not see even in the second half when Wales were good. So you can't go into that game and open up and say, we're going to be progressive and get numbers forward. I think you got to come in conservative, but not so conservative of what we saw from Wales in the first half. You got to find a good balance.
I kept watching that first half and thinking, and it came, the moment came. I thought, if a moment doesn't come for Gareth Bale, it's a waste of time. if they don't create a moment, or he doesn't have a moment, it's almost like a passenger.
Yeah, it brings nothing else.
No. And they had the moment, and a couple of moments, and he actually walked back in the second half. But if they don't get those little moments in the game, he's not contributing anything else.
I just wish his penalty was a bit more convincing.
Well, that was very convincing.
Watt Turner was a bit unlucky, by the way.
He went the right way.
Just because it was smashed.
He was very frustrated after the
I thought he was going to chip it.
But he put the power needed.
Yeah.
And that was just what I wanted to say. I think because you play in the World Cup, the next two games are going to be very interesting because, you know, everybody's going to play for their pride. There is something. There is something behind those two games, you know. And I'm talking for the US team, where you play against England, and you know that you have to show the best, and mentally you would have to be up for it. Otherwise, you're gonna be smashed by England. And after you play Iran, and you know that's kind of a big game.
It's political. It's very geopolitical.
And it's also kind of a revenge from '98. So that's a tough group stage.
Well, and Iran are better. They have better players than we saw today. I think they conceded that first
Where
goal.
Where were they?
Well,
on the bench, I think.
Well, one of them was. But
Kiros,
But I think what happened was is they conceded that first goal, and they didn't. There was too much pride.
Yeah.
And you got to say what we saw from Wales today. Right. Okay, we conceded a goal. We'll keep it at 1-0. We'll make some adjustments and we'll find a way to get it. Iran went, no, let's go forward. Let's do this. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's over.
We'll talk about that game in a moment. Seb was coughing. I'm not sure clearing his throat or reminding us that he was still there.
I think it was a lot.
It's late. It's late in Doha.
Seb, he doesn't mind.
Come on, Seb. Give us a bit of positivity.
Right, Seb, I want to ask you percentage chance now the US get through.
51. But I think you guys keep talking about this England game. You keep talking about this England game, and that's why the blowing the lead late is such a big problem. If you get the 3 points against Wales, you go into that England game, and you can take a much more open approach if you want. You can try to play England toe for toe, and if you get blown out, if they drop six or four or five on you, as they did against Iran, it's not that big a problem because you got the 3 points in the bag. Now I think Greg Berhalter is forced in this game against England to go in very, very conservatively because you don't want to ship a lot of goals, knowing, as you guys said, that Wales won't be shipping goals and they may actually get an England team in that final game that's resting players for the knockout stages.
Seb, we'll let you go. How is rooming with Nadim? How would he describe you, Seb?
Does he snore?
No, Nadim is literally an angel. He's the best roommate. I've left my keys in the door like six times already, and he just quietly hands them in and doesn't say that I'm creating a security problem for him. So,
amazing
I also left my stuff all over his room the first day we got in. So.
It's amazing how all our little partnerships, Herc and Seb,
Little,
Gab and Joe. Yes. It's amazing how they've all like just ditched each other.
I know. Everyone has been split up.
You know, they play the old nicey-nicey when they're on air. They get to Doha.
And that's
they
it.
They want to room with each other.
All right. Well, Seb, I hope you've got your keys because they're back to the room.
Herc's got it in his contract.
Just a reminder, Seb and Herc are live every single day, Football Americas. You can catch them 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Plus.
Three of them, though.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Well, ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid as we turn our attention to the opening game today. England beating Iran by 6-2. An impressive performance from the English, especially the youngsters. Jude Bellingham was fantastic. Saka getting a brace. Sterling getting on the score sheet as well. Rashford and Jack Grealish coming off the bench to get a goal as well. It is England. It is the World Cup, so there must be fans throwing beer everywhere.
Yep.
Oh, no beer in this one.
Oh, just no, a just, couple empty cups.
I know. It's dry wherever they are for this. Obviously, they had a Jude. That must mean Jude. Oh, yeah, scoring. Yeah. That must mean the opener, I would say. The aforementioned Nadim Anua joins us now to break this one down. Nadim.
All right. You're the man.
Nadim, overall, apart from conceding those two goals, this is pretty perfect, wasn't it, from Gareth Southgate's side?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think when you look at the fact that most of the goal scorers were scoring for the first time at a World Cup and you see the youth of them, the excitement of a Jude Bellingham being out there having a big impact, Saka getting two goals, you know, it was good to see for them. And I think when you look at the Iran side, they obviously aren't a great side, but I think England made them look particularly poor. I think overall they defended pretty well. And in terms of possession, like 700 passes in a World Cup game is great. The chances they had, they're great. And they kept it going. And I think one thing which was really shining through was when it was time to make some changes. They're bringing on Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, Callum Wilson off the bench. You know, these are people who can make a big difference further along in this tournament. So I think, again, when you talk about England, some people are kind of trying to normalize scoring six goals in a World Cup game, and that definitely is not the case. So I think it's a very, very positive performance. It's a great start. And for some of the people who thought, you know, Gareth Southgate would go for a five at the back, he'd be really defensive, well, it appears that that's not the case this time. He went out there, wanted to win the game, won the game well, and obviously the two goals being conceded do matter, but you'll take it when your team scores six, and there's reason to be cheerful if you're of an England persuasion.
Well, when you think of reasons to be cheerful, you think Craig Burnley.
Well, what do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. What is your take on this?
You're expecting me to go down the route of, well, Iran was just garbage.
I'm not.
And what I would say is England made them look bad. Iran, if you look at the historical results in World Cup, they've not won many games, but they've actually made it difficult for a lot of teams. A lot of good, particularly European teams, like Portugal, I think, and Germany. And they've been hard to beat. They certainly were not that today. And I think the added edge for me, and one of the things that I'm hearing from my Iranian contact,
right,
was that, well, one, it was a bit of a strange team, left one of the key playmakers out, the midfielders. And the other thing was that the players didn't want Carlos Queiroz
back.
Right. That's the things that are kind of coming out. And it looked a little bit that way in their performance. But from an England perspective, it's not the only reason they played well, but I think the fact that Calvin Phillips has had this injury problem at City, and he normally plays in there alongside Rice, and it's two solid guys sitting. I think the fact that Bellingham was in there, okay, they're going to play stronger teams than Iran, I understand. But the fact that Bellingham's in there and he's making runs, he's doing the job of an old midfielder. Mm. He's not saying, I'm an attacking midfielder, I'm a defensive midfielder. He's a dynamic midfielder. And I think that just gives England a little bit extra to go and support that front four.
We knew he was good,
yeah.
But then to put in this sort of performance, obviously the opening goal a bit special as well. What do you like about him, Frank?
Everything. His commitment to the team, you know. He does what he has to do, and he does extra. That's where you appreciate a player, you know. There is a function, and you have the extra function, and he does that, and he pleased me a lot during that game, because I saw everything I want to see from a midfield player. And but I like England overall, because the way they started the game, with the pace that they wanted to give to the game, willing to go forward against a good Iran team the first like 10-15 minutes, well organized and everything. I thought it would be more difficult than that. They scored that goal. And then Iran trying to react, and it was open door, and it'd been smashed back. And as I said before, England finished the game, and there were no game half-time, and everybody did the job. You know, even the substitute when they came on, Wilson has a chance to score a goal. He plays his first game in a World Cup and give an assist to a Grealish. Mm. And that's the spirit we want to see. That's a spirit I never seen with England. I have to say that I always had issues with England spirit, because clubs were more important than the national team. And I really feel that this year, I don't know, there is something happening. Because of that game, maybe, it has to be confirmed against the United States.
Yes.
But everything are all green lights right now.
One of the things with Bellingham is that, for me, a lot of facets of his game are good, but they're very noticeable. The one thing I really like about him, particularly for a young player, kind of like Lampard in his heyday, and in some sense, Dele Alli a little bit, before he fell off a cliff,
right,
was that Bellingham's ability to time his run into the box was epitomised by his first goal. He didn't get in there too early. And I think that's a skill set that a lot of people don't talk about. People just like, run in the box. No. It's finding the space, where the centre-halves are, where the striker's making the run, timing your run. And I think Bellingham, certainly in England, is as good as anybody at the moment at making those runs, finding that space. The question will be when England get to the knockouts, and they will, and the opponents are a lot stronger, be it an elite nation, will he go back, Gareth Southgate, right, to the two?
Yeah.
Sorry, but I jump on what he said. It's because Kane makes those runs, you know, without the ball, so that allows Jude Bellingham to go into it. If Jude Bellingham plays in a team where all three don't move and they are stuck, he's not going to offer that.
And there's no second striker.
Yes.
So there's a point when, if the guys are wide providing, you need that extra man to come in the box. And if he's not doing it because of a conservative approach where you have two holding midfielders, then you're asking either Sterling, who's either providing, or Saka to come all the way inside. Well, where's the, at the far post maybe, but where are you getting that second runner in the box? And when you have somebody that's willing to do that, you mentioned Frank. Nobody was better than Frank for a period of time.
I was waiting on that list, Frank Lampard, Dele Alli, and a young Craig Burley. Well, I thought that was what was going to come.
I was going to throw in a David Platt, which
that would be sensible.
made him looking at it as well. Great, after what happened in the final for Saka to come out and score two goals in the World Cup opener, a nice touch.
Yeah, for sure. And Rashford as well, that shouldn't be forgotten. I think this is a very significant moment for them because, you know, the way that Euros ended last year, you know, it was a very sour note for a lot of people. And then even going through the summer with some of the defeats that they had, you could sense there was a bit of pressure piling on the players and the manager. But lo and behold, it's those players, those exciting players that really set the tone for England. And, you know, talking about England and being exciting, isn't something that people get used to? You know, they're more so used to sort of being critical about why they're so defensive. You know, they're not really achieving their potential. But today we've got a chance to see that. And I think for them, the upside is, you know, for the games that are to come against possibly better opposition, they know they've got this in the locker, but they can also drift back to the stuff which made them semi-successful over the last two tournaments. You know, this is a side that made it to the semi-finals of the last World Cup. They made it to the final of the European Championships. And there are lots of familiar faces within that setup that know essentially how to try and go about their business at this stage. And realistically, this isn't something we ever really talk about when it comes to England. I think this is a very significant generation of players. And I like it. You know, the fans seem to get behind them. And as Frank was saying there, you can see the spirits there. When they have the spirit and the quality to both attack together and defend together, they make them a very dangerous side. And as far as matchups go in any given game, you know, anything is possible for them, I'd say.
Gareth Southgate, I think you could expect what he was going to say. Yeah, great performance, but we shouldn't have conceded two goals. What went wrong?
Well, again, you know, we pointed the fact that defensively the English team weren't prepared. And even if I have to say that Maguire was very interesting, Stones as well, when they had the ball, because Stones played almost as a midfielder, that was very nice to put the pressure on Iran. But the goal they conceded, especially the first goal, Maguire is there with the guy, allows the guy to go behind him, but Stones doesn't cover. Right. He has to be closer. They have to work together. They have to work on that together, because that's an easy goal to avoid. Really, defensively, that's something you have to work on that, because they were uncovering each other, Stones in that case. It's not a perfect world, and they have to work on that. Right. Otherwise, they're going to be punished against any other opponent.
Imagine they're going in the dressing room, though. You know, you've just scored six goals in a World Cup game. And if you've heard your manager moaning about the two goals you lost, you'd be like, hey, Gaffer, have a day off, will you? We'll just give you some. We could have lost to Iran.
And one of them a penalty in the 99th minute.
Yeah, that's really, you know,
at the end of the game, to concede two goals the way we did isn't the level we need. We're going to have to be better than we were today in some aspects of the game against the USA, because they're going to be coming at us full throttle and we're going to have to reset. Now, what's interesting from that is the way that these two games finished. England had a lot of fresh faces on the pitch. Mm. You know, it almost had a pre-season friendly feel to it in the way that he could bring on a lot of players. Your guys on the floor, cramping up, injuries.
And
you know.
England could come on to Nadim's point and score a goal after 71 seconds of being on the pitch.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just looking like it was almost carnival atmosphere and full of energy because it was too easy, right? And, you know, the U.S. guys obviously not having the response they would like, not being able to change what Wales were doing for the first 25 minutes of that first half, or sorry, of that second half. And it is going to be a different psyche going in. Now, the question for England will be, is there too much overconfidence coming in because you just crushed Iran and got a plus four goal difference and we're already through, and do we really have to, you know, give the same effort that we did in that first half against Iran? And then the other question is, how wounded are the U.S.?
Right.
are there key players that are just banged up after that second half? Because, It was a physical match.
Yeah, indeed. Well, to that point, Nadim, obviously front and back pages of the newspapers in the UK are all dominated now by the Six Pistols and everything. They're going to be getting excited. But you're very much detached from that quite a lot now, aren't you, in this England camp? And a bit of overconfidence can't be too much of a bad thing?
I think, to be honest, with the way this squad is, I think they are realistic. I think Gareth Southgate is trying to send a message about that, and the fact that he's sort of being critical of the team about the two goals. Maybe in private he's praising them, but he's trying to make sure that he's showing to the nation and to the fans that, you know, they are taking this seriously. And this US side, you know, they can cause some problems because they do have speed, and speed itself is something which, you know, doesn't matter how good you are as a player, like, that will always be a concern for the opposition. So I think for England in that game, they'll understand it's going to be a different sort of task. And it's a big game, especially given the fact that the USA are on 1 point. They probably need a result from that. So they're going to get the best version of the United States team. And for England, they'll know they'll have to suffer a little bit in that game, but they have to be clinical and similar in the way that they were today. And I think, you know, for people watching the games today, you'll think, well, England are going to walk all over them. But I don't believe that to be the case at all. It's always different when there's always something on the line. So I believe for England, if they stick to their plan, if they play anywhere near as well as they've done, then they'll be okay. But it won't be them scoring six goals, because this is an exception. And they'll be ready for that game. They'll be motivated and understand if you win this, you are into the next round of the competition. And that is your objective. So why wouldn't you take the opportunity to do it now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think knowing, you know, Southgate's quite a level-headed, he's a very level-headed guy. And I don't think they'll be paying any attention to headlines, or I'm sure the players are reading a few of them on their phone, but they're old enough and wise enough to know that they were expected to win this game. It went better than expected. Okay, they lost a couple of silly goals at the end, but yeah, the US just provide a different test. It's the worry is, as Casey mentioned, is it's got to be the match fitness for some of these players, because they have one of the youngest squads in the tournament.
Yeah,
they should be fresh faced and
yes,
you know, still battering away at the end. But it was a physical game, but they were on the floor and. There'll be ice packs galore, and how do you pick them up? Because England are buoyant. If England have got five or six knocks, they bring five or six players in.
Yeah. Yeah.
The US have got two or three they could bring in that could maybe keep the quality to a certain level, but not five or six.
Final question, Nadim. I suppose the same one I asked Sebi. How is he as a roommate?
Well, interestingly, I came a day later than Sebi. So when I walked into the room, he'd both taken the big room and got into my room and left his, I think it's his boxer shorts and some exercise equipment in there. So I was like, well, where am I supposed to be? But ultimately, but I was like, okay, fair enough, Sebi, you do whatever you want. But he's a little bit messy, but he's a nice guy. So yeah, things are good. And I don't think I got the worst assignment anyway, so I'm quite happy.
It's only 2 days in though, isn't it?
Hey,
everyone's been nicey at the moment.
I love how he's been like a little poodle and he's gone in and left his scent. In each room.
But take care of him, because it seems to be very frustrating.
You seem to be suggesting there are worse people you could be rooming with. who would you suggest that would be?
Yeah. So the person that's suffering the most is probably Julien Laurent, because he's with Mark Ogden, and Mark Ogden is the single-handedly the most unhappy man in all of the world. So just picture waking up to that and hearing that for the whole day. You know, there is no shit. It's too hot. It's too cold. The days are too long. Everything's too short. Only six goals. There should be seven. Just imagine that for 5 weeks.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much. This is much more interesting than the World Cup.
You got to come back to this like in the semi-final.
I know. Imagine it.
And see.
Although Sebi's staying as long as the US, Casey. So I
don't. Oh.
Yeah. There we go. So just a reminder, ESPN FC available on YouTube. Be sure to go over there to subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN FC on ESPN Plus is presented by the all-new Honda CR-V Hybrid as we focus on Senegal against Netherlands. And the Dutch left it late, didn't it? But Young Gakpo, of course, there was a lot of hype about him going into the tournament, opening the scoring, Klaassen then making it 2-0. So we got some fan video of the Dutch celebrating here. Is this in Amsterdam? Here we go. This is when the opening goal went in.
Ooh, looks quite...
Is it a rave?
It looks posh there, doesn't it?
Look at that. Amsterdam Arena, Daniel.
Is it Amsterdam Arena, is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, there you go. Yes. There you are.
By the way, those stats were a little misleading. That game didn't seem to me as if it had like 25 strikes on goal.
It was all right. I didn't mind it. No, no. Mario Malchiotti. Hello, Mario. Were you at the Amsterdam Arena for that? Were you amongst the crowd?
No, we got invited. All the ex-players got invited, but I did not go.
Oh, no?
Because I like my popcorn and my TV.
You're so famous as well, Mario.
Yeah, I didn't ever think the Dutch were going to score.
I know. I think it's an unfair result for me.
Well, I don't care what you think. I want to talk to Mario first.
I want to upset him before he talks, you know? I want to make sure he gets angry with
me. Frank says that Senegal should have won it, Mario.
No, they had a great setup. I think they played in the middle of the park. They had three holding defenders. So that's set up the game. And I think Louis van Gaal already knew because, look, he started with Berghuis and De Jong in the middle of the park because he wanted creative players. He said before the game, or after the game, actually, he said Gakpo started the game. Why? Because he picked him instead of Klaassen. Klaassen is more towards the team setup, but Gakpo is the creative one. And clearly we saw what happened, you understand, in the game with the header. It was his influential thing in seeing, like, where should I be? And with him headering the ball, it made a quick difference to them. And also, I think really the big change was Koyete came out. And he changed the game. He changed the game really quickly because as soon as he came off, the middle of the park became like a real problem for them. Because in the beginning part, they allowed De Jong to dribble the ball, but then they closed him down with a lot of players. So I think that was the biggest difference in the game. But away from that, it wasn't really a cute game to watch till the final end.
To your point, Mr. Burnley.
What?
That it wasn't the greatest game.
It was okay. I mean, obviously Senegal missing Sadio Mane, the key player. Ismail Assar, who plays at Watford's quite tidy on the wing and cuts inside. But yeah, they just always seem to falter in the final third. And I think from the Dutch point of view, that's you're looking at them, all those great strikers that they've had over the years. Yeah. And now they're kind of struggling. I know Memphis Depay came on, but he's had so many injury problems. And so the goal came from the midfield. In fact, the goal should have came from the midfield in the first half when De Jong was through.
De Jong,
yes.
Now, the ball from De Jong for the goal was a beautiful little ball, and it really suckered. I don't know how much you put on the goalie.
I don't know. I mean, you got to read that so fast when you're going up against a guy that's like 6'5" and can jump, obviously. But
and he was pretty brave because he knew that the goalie was Mendy was close. And
he had to go. He had to go for it. But really, I think I was frustrated when I saw Senegal playing because I think they were better, especially the first half against the Netherlands. But the right side with, I think it was Jatta and Sabali, they weren't ready to play that World Cup, or maybe too stressed about that. They made some silly mistakes. And as you said, in the last part of the field, they were so clumsy. I mean, the last pass, the assist weren't there, weren't good enough. And because otherwise they were well organized at the back, you know, they didn't do any mistakes, except if we can consider Mendy movement as a mistake. But overall, it should have been a draw for me. It should have been fair to have a draw. 2-0, it's kind of lucky for, I would say, for
I think the other piece of it, with when you look at the Netherlands, and Mario can talk about this better, but where are those marquee superstars that you expect from a Dutch team? You know, and you think Van Persie, Van Nistelrooy,
yeah.
Van Basten,
Bergkamp,
Hullet. Yeah. You know, the guys that you think, oh boy.
Yeah.
And it's, they're going to have to do this by being a team.
Right.
And
do they have the ability, Mario, to do that without those superstar names?
No, but what you guys jump on, listen, for the national team to have Louis van Gaal as your coach, and I worked with him myself as well, it's very difficult. They have the names that you just pointed out. If you're going to have a Van Nistelrooy or you know, one of those guys, they worked with him, so some of them worked really well with him. But he picked a team that he can implement his system, the way he wants to play, the way he thinks about it. And I always say, Louis van Gaal works really well with young players. Soon as he gets more older and seasoned players, it becomes sometimes a clash. Because sometimes you as a seasoned player, of older player, don't always want to listen to what someone else is telling you. But when you're a younger player, you're open, wide open to get so much information, and then you can advance. I mean, I think that's in any job. And that's why I think this setup, he picked clearly a team. He takes a lot of fire towards him because he doesn't care how the press picks him up. And he just says, I do it my way. You guys just listen to me. That's just a tactical way. As soon as you have a coach that does that, it's only because he wants to protect his team.
We also forgot a couple players like Rijkaard and right. Overmars
right.
and Kluivert.
Yeah, we could.
Right. Yeah, Cruyff.
You missed Mario.
Mario Rijkaard.
Yeah.
How did you least believe Dennis Bergkamp?
Oh, Bergkamp. I said Bergkamp.
Mario, you mentioned there obviously Van Gaal, who I know you work close with, you're a big fan of. What do the fans make of him? What do the media make of him?
Look, in the beginning, it was kind of tricky. But you have to understand, we have a coach that support, you know, they came after him because he did it already two times. He did it in my time once. And then afterwards, he came back. He did a really, I think he became third in the last World Cup that he led them. And now he came back again. But guys, we are looking at a coach that was suffering for cancer. And when he was going through the cancer period, he still kept on training his team, but he never told the players. The players, he told them later on because he didn't want them to focus on him instead of the games. Later on, they found out that he was going after every game, going to chemotherapy after the games. So having said that, this also tells you what kind of man it is. So when he then selects you and puts you in the team, don't be a moaner because he doesn't like players like that. So he picks those players. And if you look at all of them, they all feel at home. They feel comfortable. And they all, and he even implements it on TV. And it's kind of interesting to hear. He says, I'm here to win the World Cup. And I know people will jump on that. But in Holland, he just wants them to start believing in it. Because we never had that feeling. Because we never won it. That's why.
You got to give him an immense amount of credit for all the reasons that Mario mentioned. I mean, he doesn't have to be there. He's managed all, I mean, he's been managing a serious illness. You've got the pressure of World Cup qualification, going to a World Cup. He's managed in all these different countries. I don't know how many times he's managed the Dutch. He's managed some of the biggest teams in the world. He doesn't need the... But he just loves...
Yeah.
Whether you like him or agree with him or whatever, he just loves coaching.
Yeah.
He just lives for coaching.
That's his life.
But it's whether the Dutch have enough players.
Yeah.
That's the big, you know, you can coach, Mario, you could be the greatest coach in the world, right? But if the Dutch don't have anybody up front to score the goals, it's just not going to happen.
But Mario, they should, they'll top the group now, you imagine, yeah?
Yeah. And we have a strong belief in Depay. Regardless of what Depay is happening at Barcelona, he's clearly one of the leading strikers because he clearly, the numbers of goals that he scored already for the country. He also gave him the card. It was a young and divided when they came in injured. He said, I will wait for you guys. That is the belief he has in his players. Because he knows that in each line he has a player. Van Dijk, back line. Middle of the park, the young, the pie, starting. So he gave him 30 minutes. He promised him, I'm going to give you 30 minutes. But on the next game, he's going to give him maybe more. Because eventually he said, the pie needs to start leading the line because he's very instrumental. He came on, had that strike, it got pounded off, and then Klaassen came because that's his job. Klaassen is good at that. And he tapped it in because all the players that he selected are really key in what he wants them to do. And they all know what to do. Eh? Because we talk about Gakpo, eh? The young boy. That ball that he scored, do you know how many times he gave that cross himself to Luke de Jong? And he ended up scoring.
Mario, good stuff, mate. Thank you very much. The Dutch then looking good to qualify out of Group A. Mario might be back for extra time. Let's see if we can sort out his internet connection. You can
cheat. He's cheap, that's why.
Yeah. You'd have unplugged it by now and gone.
Yeah, Nicole.
Pay your bills.
You can check out Extra Time over on our YouTube channel.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Just quickly, we go for some other business as well as has been happening. This was Cristiano Ronaldo speaking for the first time after that interview with Piers Morgan. Timing is always timing, okay? From your side, it's easy to look at how we can choose timings. Sometimes you write truths, sometimes you write lies. I don't have to worry what others think. I talk when I want to. Everybody knows who I am and what I believe in. Meanwhile, for many, Argentina are going to do very well in this campaign. They kick off against Saudi Arabia. That is the first game on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Mexico against Poland. Big game, of course, for both sides. Will be vying, you imagine, for second place in Group C. And the defending champions are in action as well on Tuesday. France kick things off against Australia. That the opening game of Group D. That's the late game. Denmark against Tunisia precedes that. We'll, of course, be back tomorrow to reflect on those games. Be sure to join us. Just a reminder, we are live with you on ESPN Plus here at 6 p.m. Eastern every single day. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone. What were you doing with his glasses before?
I just... trying them on to see if they were dummy glasses.
Oh, right, see, just for style.
He's the dummy, the glasses are all right.
Be sure to stay tuned then. Extra Time is next. The boys answering some of your tweets.
No, give it back.
Welcome in to FC Extra Time, brought to you by Globant. Thanks, as always, for your questions. Mario is with us. This is Casey Franklin. How was dinner last night, boys?
It was good.
Yeah. Great.
Yes.
Yeah. Very went nice. Went to Brico.
Oh, nice.
Your Italian,
Italian restaurant in town. And,
we had a very nice evening.
I had pastas and I had the scallops. And
lovely.
We have a glass of red wine. That was perfect.
Beautiful. Who paid?
I did.
Oh, well done.
I don't know. You gave your illness to everybody. So every time I come here, I have to pay for
it. What illness?
I don't know. Something happens if you put your...
I have to sit and listen how rich you are over dinner, you're definitely paying.
That was a real pleasure to invite Casey.
Listen, you think he's tight?
Steve,
see some other people in the show.
Yeah, but it doesn't you know, do anything to me when I invite a Scottish guy, because I know that I will have to pay.
Right,
No. All Scots are like that.
No?
Really?
Yeah, no. Seriously, did you only have one glass of red wine?
I had two. He had one.
I was driving.
There we go. Yeah. Very, very sensible, Craig.
Sensible. I never know how that works.
Well, being sensible.
It's a great skill set. No. It's a bit like wine tasting. In a way, but it's a great skill set where you can just go, I'll just have two, that was beautiful, and I'll leave it there.
Yes.
It's quality, it's not about quantity.
Well, that's...
Well, good for you, I guess.
Mario, where did you watch today's game? You said you watched it with some popcorn at home, is that right? In Amsterdam?
Yes, my friend, yes. No need to move. It's too cold outside.
Amsterdam. He's he's normally in LA.
I know.
Well, that's
Amsterdam for
that's how you know he's not in LA because his backdrop.
A bit clumsy.
Or he is in LA, just pretending.
I was going to say, Mario, that doesn't look like that doesn't look like Soho House to me. Last time I ran into you there. So.
Mario, could De Ligt aggressively be the Dutch team's weakness? He got 4 fouls today, and a red is deadly in this competition.
Yeah, I think you know what was interesting? Because against Senegal, I could see that he got tested a couple of times, and Van Gaal picked him because it was going to be a physical battle. So I think, you know, like, you could see that the speed sometimes came up to him because he's now plays more like an outside right, and normally he's in the middle of the park and has somebody next to him. So it could be a test. I think I still think he's a great talent because, guys, come on. What he already achieved is incredible. You know, Juventus, Bayern Munich, and, of course, in the young age at Ajax. But still, if we got to look at a weakness, if we see more weakness of him, I would take him on.
There were a couple of mistimed challenges, weren't there, from him today?
Yeah. That was that can be a real question mark, you know, for the future because, we talk about, you know, during the season about Martinez, you know, and Stevie likes him like I do. And, you have to take the chance, you know, to get the ball and you have to react very quickly. But sometimes you can have the chance to think twice before doing what you have to do. Well, good for him. I think Van Dijk seems to be in a very good shape. So it could be, can be covered.
How did you segue your hatred of Lissandro Martinez into this question? It's disappointing, Frank.
That's an example. That's not a target.
That agenda.
Well, I've got a question. I'm being serious. He's here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
He's having one day off, he said.
Right.
25th.
Okay.
That's give or take, 13 shows, right?
Right, yes.
Have you got 13 turtlenecks?
I only have 30. It's where I'm off the 25th.
Okay.
You know?
What, and what notes have you written down here?
No, I was...
It's been writing 2 days in a row.
Because while Casey talks, you know, I think he's the only one saying interesting things, you know.
It's like the post-show meeting.
It's his affirmation.
I very much enjoyed your reaction to Wales because maybe
I can jump on what he says, and that's interesting. Is what about about the Welsh reaction too late?
He wanted to react too late, but whatever. He's been stealing Casey's lines.
What did the second one say?
The second one says, you know,
too late.
Stop talking to Craig. Not worth it.
Buy more turtlenecks.
You guys are good, man.
We have fun, Mario. Come over to help me out.
Hey, listen, you are way ahead of everybody on Christmas already, man, with that redness. So I respect you for that one.
Yeah, very festive.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm a positive person.
Yeah, although it's orange more than red.
Listen, even Santa Claus wouldn't wear that.
It's almost red. It's
tomorrow.
Orange.
Okay.
France tomorrow.
Blue. It's going to be the blue turtleneck.
Oh, wow. Oh,
can't wait. Blue.
Right. You're a beautiful voice.
That's another thing.
Casey, why does Greg continue to play inferior players? Scally is the start of a Gladbach, yet can't get an appearance. Morris over Reina. Why?
Look, I think if you were listening to Herc and Seb earlier, there was some conversation about that between those two. I've had conversations with Greg, and I basically just said, Greg, look, you're going to be judged on one thing and one thing only, and that's, do you get out of the first round? And it's how you choose as a manager to do that. Sometimes it's really easy to pick the players that everybody thinks should be playing. I think we're guilty of that sometimes as well. Managers are seeing things that we don't know. Was Gio struggling a little bit with a hamstring after this?
Gio says he's 100%.
Gio said he's 100%. No. What would you say to play in a World Cup?
Well, exactly.
I'm 100%, coach.
Yeah, there we go.
But so there's more to it than just what we see. But we were scratching our heads, obviously, in our analysis of how Gio didn't get into that game.
Scully's a fullback, isn't he?
So there was a question when we're going to see if Dest, how fit he is.
Right.
Because Scally plays on the left side for Gladbach, but he's a natural right-sided player. So that would be, if Dest can't go, then
Dest,
I...
Dest's hair is terrible.
You're not,
like, who would dye their hair?
You're talking to Frank and I about
hair. Who would dye their hair on the biggest World
Aaron
Cup
Ramsey.
Stage?
Ramsey.
Who would be,
Aaron
the, who Ramsey would be the Muppet
who
that would do that?
Craig Burley, yeah. Eh? Look at me, look at me.
It was nice, the
I got blonde hair.
Flag.
Yeah, I think that was nice, wasn't it? Nice tribute, the Tricolore.
Okay, whatever. No, I prefer my turtleneck.
Casey.
Yes. You couldn't wear that during that.
On the World Cup stage, as a goalkeeper, is facing a penalty kick more of a mental battle or a physical battle?
It's a coin toss, truly. I mean, you're...
How long until Craig brings it up?
Craig did score a penalty on me. Yes,
right.
Yes, but Craig also knows who won that penalty shootout.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was against Chelsea, by the way, Mario. Since I'm with three Chelsea guys, I'm kind of stuck here. But
well, Frank's the most hated Chelsea punter out there, right?
I am not. You are.
Yeah.
You are.
But really, it is. It's right. Truly, you know, you're about, what is it, about 10%.
Is
average.
The Gareth Bale one today unstoppable?
Pretty much.
Not too far.
Pretty close.
Right.
Pretty close. I mean, because Matt guessed the wrong way. He was quick on it, but because it was really past him, he was touching the ball as it was going past him.
Right.
You know, you would have really had to jump on that a little quicker.
The position of the ball, meaning midair, you know, in the middle of it's not the best. Because
correct.
It's gloves.
It gives him a chance.
But because of the power that he put in, there is no chance.
If it's slightly higher, it's completely unsavable.
Right.
But I think he's safer on the ground. Strong like that on the ground, no chance for the goalkeeper because he has to go.
Is that what did you always go on the ground?
Yeah, always.
Correct? Were you on the ground? What did you
that
do?
One I was. That one I side footed past him, but I actually preferred to do what Bale did today.
Just
whip that ball with pace because if the keeper goes the right way, there's a chance with the pace, it's going to beat him.
Right.
Yeah, but
if he side foot it and the keeper goes the right way.
No, you can do so, but on the ground, because he has to go down. There it's gloves area. And that's, of course, because of the power, he has to be to have very strong wrist. Otherwise, you know, he's not going to get it. He's not going to save it. But he still has a little chance to get it.
Right.
Where on the floor, and Casey knows, with the power, there's no way you can get it.
But if it's higher, so there's a little thing, a little physics lesson.
Here we go.
There's this little thing called gravity.
Right. Okay.
Which makes it impossible for you to dive up and out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Can you demonstrate just here on the floor, Casey?
A few years ago, maybe. But so the problem is if I'm diving out, I'm always going to start falling.
Yes. Okay.
So if the ball is high enough,
I'll do it.
I can't. There's no way I can get up there.
It's the same.
But it's a bigger risk for the taker.
Oh. Yeah.
You know, but gravity is bringing me down to a ball that you hit on the ground. But yes, it's.
Wait, it's easier for Dan.
When you're between my knees and my chest, that's the best place for me for you to hit it.
Anyone tuning in now would have no idea what's going on. For the boys, Mario, after watching today's match, is there any hope for the US or Wales against England?
The US or Wales? England, what I thought about England, they still allow two goals to be conceded, but they look really strong as a team. So if I look at the US, as long as they don't give the energy away, first half I thought they look great, but they gave a lot of energy away. So if they do that against England, they're going to get beaten. But if not, they could come up with a surprise. With Wales, I'm not sure about Wales. They look like, even against the US, they did not look that strong to me.
Well, it's simple. If England plays the way they play today,
right,
with the chemistry that they found, no way that US or Wales can cope with them.
But you brought up an interesting point about the geopolitical side of the US playing Iran.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a geopolitical side of England playing Wales.
Right.
Of course.
And the history and what that will mean for Wales to pick up something against England in a World Cup. Mm. So,
but if I'm the US, I'm targeting the two centre-backs, particularly Maguire.
Yes.
I mean, they got pretty much off scot-free today for the majority of
them. But when they were tested, there was vulnerability.
You really have to defend. So if I'm the US, I'm thinking about pace and I'm thinking about Maguire's lack of game time down that channel.
Okay.
And then that's
is he fit with the concussion?
Yeah.
He did get taken off, but that's a good question.
Yeah.
Who can play striker and be a danger? Sorry, and be a danger to Maguire at front for the US?
Well, Josh Sargent, is that the
Weah? You can put Weah as a striker.
You know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they choose to go with pace and maybe even move Weah centrally, bring on Gio or Aronson on the right side, and then go with more of a quicker front lineup, understanding that Sargent's not winning headers against Harry Maguire anyway. So you might as well try to keep it around them and see if you can get little runs in behind them.
Go on, Mario.
But hey, guys, didn't you feel like when you looked at the US game, did you feel like the first half they put so much energy in it, and then the second half it almost looked like they couldn't keep up with it sometimes? Like Wales started pressing them back, and I felt like Wales was, for me, they didn't look that strong because Bale did not look in the game. Like the penalty was the best thing he did for me. You understand? Compared to watching him in the game, compared to seeing a player like that. So I feel like seeing the US, as long as they don't waste the energy like the way I saw them wasting it, they could come up with a surprise. If not, if they do the same thing again, press 40 minutes, 45 minutes, they're going to look tired, man. That's, for me, the biggest catch for them.
Yeah, that's what we're worried about, to see if they have the fitness to be able to do it for 90 minutes.
It's Friday. It's Friday, well, 2 p.m. in America, so...
So it's coming around quite quick.
Yeah.
Well, I like a good week between games.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I get a couple of beers. That's too much.
It's all about drinking, you know?
Chill out, for your stress away.
When they had a football game, the game is there, but what do we do after? That's where it comes
from. I was partial to a little wander down to San Remy Village.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
And near Avignon.
Yes, it's nice.
But it's good days.
It's not about that. It's about, we talk about football, not drinking.
The gap in quality is telling. Shouldn't the World Cup be the best 8 European nations, the best 5 South Americans, then the champions of Asia, Africa and North America? 16 teams, 4 groups of 4, and the best 16 teams in the world.
Why don't we go to 48 teams for the next World Cup?
That'll be the next World Cup. They're going the opposite direction.
Yeah, I mean, going down this all-inclusive road, it's like, it's going to get nuts. And I've said it all along. And I think most of the guys have been on the same hymn sheet. It's just diluting it.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to make countries better just by inviting them to a World Cup. Oh, you were horrible in qualifying. Pull your parachute, come along. And then we're just going to see more games with more disparity. And it's actually, I think it's going to turn people off.
Right.
How many people, if you're an English fan, sit and went today when they were, whatever the score was at half time, was it 3?
3 already, yeah.
But anyway, as soon as it was 4-0 and then 5, whatever it was, you're going, come on.
Right.
And
I switch off. Yesterday, I have to be honest. You know, when there was Qatar against Ecuador at half time.
Yeah, you left my house at half time.
I left yours and I didn't watch the game because
What do you think the Italian fans are thinking right now? How are we not here?
Last question on the point of you leaving my house at half time. For Casey and Mario, if you invite a guest over to your home for lunch, do you expect them to put their dishes away after they're done? Or is it crazy to ask a guest to tidy up?
I would never ask a guest to tidy up. I've had guests when we've had parties and they're good friends and they start just tidying up because they're good friends, but I would never ask a guest to tidy up.
Of course. I would lie.
Because we are not good friends, you know. I didn't ask you to do that. No, but Mario, can you believe that? I went to his place and the guy is criticizing me of not taking the plate to the kitchen into the dishwasher. And he said that it's not normal, it's not
No,
it's
just
not
put
behavior.
The plate in the sink. I don't expect dishwasher.
Dan. Come on,
you're going to be
smart. You cannot allow him to do that. If you come to my house, you don't need to worry about anything. But one thing I'll tell you, if we play a game of pool and I beat your ass, you clean the whole house, my friend.
Wow, well, Mario's normally so chill, and then he brings up pool, and then
he's back to you. He's going to go ahead.
Exactly. Wow.
Oh, right. Listen, what if we'd asked you yesterday to talk about a very tactical piece in the second half of that Ecuador Qatar game?
Yeah. Well, you know,
and you stormed off.
You have internet. You can have highlights. You can manage to use thinking, and you know it very well because we all know that nobody watches all the games.
Wow. How dare you, Frank?
Excuse me. Wow. Yeah. Don't come over here bringing your unprofessionalness.
I know. Unprofessional way. Yeah. Yes. Too busy trying to get your head in a turtleneck. Can't see the game.
You guys got a great group out there, man.
We'll
guys,
be tomorrow, 5 a.m. is Argentina against Saudi Arabia.
That's the game I will be missing.
Oh, you're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you
are
go.
You going to watch Argentina tomorrow at 5?
Listen, it's 2022.
Look at me in my eyes. Look at me in my eyes. Are you going to watch the game tomorrow at 5 a.m.?
No.
Ah, you see, no. The unprofessional people.
Okay, that is it. We'll be back tomorrow to reflect very much in detail of Argentina's tactics in that game. Plus, of course, three other matches, including France taking on Australia. Come on, you socceroos.